just gonna stand there and hear me cry. Well, that's alright, because I love the way you lie. I love the way you lie.
At that time, being young, I was in my early 20s, thinking that the abuse that I was going through was because this person well and truly loved me. He only did what he did because he really cared. He only did what he did because he didn't want anybody else to take me and hurt me and things like that. And I can remember taking so much of it, the beatings, the mental abuse. Like, he'd take things like my jewellery and hide it and say that I'd given it to somebody else. And I actually, you know, a lot of the time was doubting myself. Did I move it? Have I given it to somebody else? You know, things like that. And, you know, basically fear was a lot of it, but also love was the main, you know, thing that kept you there.
This year, around 10% of the female population will suffer some form of domestic violence. Hundreds of thousands of children a year see their mum or dad being beaten or abused. On average, two women a week are killed by their partner. The sad truth is that domestic violence now accounts for a quarter of all recorded violent crime. But earlier this year, it became clear that the support services which work to save the victims of abuse aren't going to avoid being squeezed by government cuts. Charities, support workers and specialist police units are all struggling to plan for the future. And this means that the women they help simply have less chance of having one at all.
I don't yet know whether we'll be in existence after the end of March 2012.
You can't do everything or nothing.
In the past, domestic violence services got their money from charitable trusts. Now, the majority of the funding comes from central government. The main pot of money is the Supporting People Fund, which until March was ring-fenced for the funding of refuges and the charities that run them. But post-spending review, this changed, and the money was suddenly available for councils to use for other things. In addition, the money allocated for non-housing-based domestic violence support, such as helplines and outreach services, has also been reduced. This is happening across the country, and it means that every avenue of funding is being cut back. Here in Nottingham, the levels of reported domestic violence are some of the highest in the country. Ironically, so are the levels of cuts being made. The city's already lost half of its women's refuges, and next year, Nottinghamshire County Council plans to reduce what it spends on domestic abuse by £400,000. Chris Cutland, who is the Chief Executive of Women's Integrated Services in Nottingham, has been very vocal about the countrywide cuts.
It's an easy target, isn't it? Women's services feel to be easy, and I think we're given mixed messages. So when we were on the up, if you like, domestic violence was on the up, we were encouraged to be businesslike and merge, and we did all that. And then when we become what they see as stroppy, because they're cutting our fundings, we're told we're too big, we should be a nice little voluntary sector, you know, doing one refuge or something. That wasn't said, but that was the implication. It wasn't quite pat us on the head and mind your own business, but it almost felt like that.
Another issue being raised by charities is the irony that as tough economic times raise tensions in households and the risk of domestic violence, services are being cut back for the same reason. Diana Barron from national charity CADA, or Coordinated Action Against Domestic Abuse, is keen to draw this link.
Well, we know that a risk factor in domestic abuse is financial problems. And so I think if people are losing their jobs and there's additional stresses in the house, that's going to contribute to any, you know, existing tensions and is likely to escalate it. So it might not start something from nothing, but it will certainly increase the risk in a situation.
But whilst the big charities do all they can to raise awareness, many small local services are simply struggling on in silence.
That you settled down, that you found a girl.
In South Yorkshire, domestic violence is on the up. In Sheffield and Barnsley, reported cases of violence against women have almost doubled since 2009. Last year, 5,000 women in Sheffield were abused by a current or ex-partner. Six women were murdered. But the councils are still shaving over £40,000 off their DV budgets and have already reduced supporting people contracts. And to make matters worse, charities say they have no idea what money they'll be getting next year. As the women living in one of Sheffield's refuges go about their daily routine away from the threat of violence, Women's Aid are trying to plan for the next residence, but they can't. Despite housing over 100 women a year, they've seen their funding drop by over 10% and the contract cut from 5 years to less than 12 months. Manager Claire Wiggett's struggling to do her job.
We're working on assumptions, we're not working on a business plan as I normally would have, a 3 to 5 year business plan. I'm working on a very, very short business plan. Obviously, I'm trying to make sure that whilst the cuts this year will impact on our reserves levels, I've got to make sure I've got enough in reserve and to wind down the operation if that's what happens. I don't yet know whether we'll be in existence after the end of March, but I'm planning for us being in existence and I'm expecting them to ask us for further budget cuts.
Unfortunately, Women's Aid are just the tip of the iceberg. Despite the cuts, they're at least still receiving some form of government money. But there are many other well-established services in the city that aren't getting a penny. One of these is the Sheaf Domestic Abuse Project.
Hello, Sheaf, can I help you?
Until last November, Sheaf received local authority funding, but post-spending review, the council asked them to merge with 3 other projects. Sheaf's manager, Wendy Young, and support worker Donna Dero refused.
We had an issue with actually signing up to that because we felt that we'd lose our identity. And because we are a community-based project, people know us, they feel comfortable with us, they have confidence in us. And, you know, sometimes, although we're doing work in the areas of domestic abuse, sometimes we do go out of that remit.
I won't say relax, but we have a more easygoing working relationship with our clients. Our clients aren't limited to an hour, you know, and we've had one client 5 years. That doesn't look good for us, I know, because he isn't able to do it all at once. It's got mental health problems, but it's getting there.
Sheaf no longer receives any local authority funding, and it's tough. Wendy spends every day applying for money, and with a waiting list for their children's worker forming, the pressure is on.
Well, I once tried funding. I broke everything down into small amounts, and I put like a shopping list. I tried that, but we didn't get anything back from that. But you just try different things. It might work now. Didn't work then, but it might work again.
Is this something you worry about?
I do worry, because really, come March, there won't be any funding for anyone. Donna, myself and Val will work as volunteers. Although we all need the money, we will come as volunteers. But it's not just our salaries. It's paying for heating, lighting, telephones, council tax, all things like that that you have to pay out.
There is no doubt that Sheaf support workers are in demand, but they say they've been abandoned by Sheffield City Council just because they refused to make a compromise that they say would have put victims at risk. When approached about the level of cuts, the council declined to comment, saying only that it's a central government issue and nothing to do with them. One woman that knows the value of services such as Sheaf all too well is Jill Corlett. Jill was abused by her husband for 31 years.
Sort of engaged for about a year and then got married. So this would be in 1978, when circumstances were very, very different. And the actual physical attacks started a month after I got married. There were a lot of rows and so on and so forth, but it was very, very gradual. You find lots of excuses and reasons. But, I mean, over the years, things escalated. But there would always be excuses that, you know, he had a mental condition, this, that and the other, and so on and so forth. It was a whole range of stuff.
But last summer, the marriage came to a dramatic end.
He disappeared off the face of the planet for a weekend, didn't tell me where he was going. He spent £10,000 in 2 days. I tried to trace him. He got into trouble with the police. I refused to answer the phone to him, so he reported I'd committed suicide. Anyway, the upshot was he was picked up by the police and taken to Casualty. This was in Newcastle. I then had to drive to Newcastle to pick him up and take over from the police, and I brought him home.
For every victim of domestic violence, there is a point at which, in Jill's words, something just flips over and you want him out.
He did attack me. He took all the phones and the keys off me. I couldn't get out of the house. That was quite a serious attack. I had managed to phone the police and they traced my call and they arrived at the door. So that was that. He was taken away. But the following day, bail officer phoned me and said, he'll be a changed man. We're going to allow him to come home. And I said, no way.
In the run-up to these events, Jill had begun to approach some of her local DV support services. She's still using some of them now and agrees that they provide a vital lifeline for women like her.
Yes, because you're starting to see that it is a sort of... you're not on your own, basically. And because you have other people talking about similar experiences, you can explore the issues a great deal more. And they're all different ages. I mean, I was the oldest, and we all had different things about it. Like, my biggest thing was why I hadn't left earlier, why I put up for 31 years, etc., etc. And they go through all of that because it's a sort of point where you are being controlled and you're aware of it and you don't know what's going on and so forth. So there's a lot of unravelling of issues. So it was the kind of start of things, but they are desperately underfunded. And there are these wonderful people and wonderful units that do stuff, and they're not really being supported by councils.
When asked about decisions concerning domestic violence funding, the Home Office declined to respond. But despite this, they have at least rethought one of their cost-cutting measures. Last August, a long-awaited pilot scheme of domestic violence protection orders was scrapped by the Home Secretary. The orders would have given police the power to prevent perpetrators from returning home for up to 48 hours after they've been arrested, giving the victim a chance to either get out or seek help. To many, the decision to scrap the orders was ruthless and very disappointing. But in March, the Home Office did a U-turn, and this month, Greater Manchester Police are officially launching a 12-month pilot scheme of the orders. Superintendent Phil Owen is overseeing the scheme.
It's a really difficult challenge for victims to make a statement, to go to evidence and give evidence in court. So this provides an alternative whereby we can issue a notice, even if the victim doesn't provide us with a statement. If we have reasonable grounds to believe that one is necessary to protect the victim, we can do so. And in some cases, even if the victim doesn't want an order to be issued, we can still go ahead because we think it's necessary to protect her.
But whilst the police are very keen to make this work, what do the other agencies, such as probation, victim support and of course support services, actually think?
As you know, victims of domestic abuse are often in a cycle, and what this order will do is give them time to be able to make some choices for themselves and time and space away from the offender to really look into the options that they've got for themselves and for the children if there are children involved.
Somebody estimated that one borough, a metropolitan borough, spent over £100 million on the consequences of domestic abuse. Now, this project would be a pittance in comparison to that.
I'm just slightly concerned that maybe victims won't want to contact the police if every time they think the perpetrator is going to be removed, and I just hope that there's going to be enough funding to provide the support to support the victims once they've made the break as well.
And as we've seen, that's the worry shared by a lot of people who work in the domestic violence sector. As abuse continues to rise year on year, more and more people are going to need support. And whilst DVPOs mean extra protection, they also encourage victims to actually ask for help. But if the government continues to make cuts like they are doing, it looks unlikely that when men and women pick up the phone, there'll be anyone there to answer.